campuses, all those tuning in online, wonderful to have you with us. And as Pastor Joel said, it's a good Sunday. We're kicking off a new series, and our family is kind of in a kickoff mode of sorts. Some of you might be feeling this, you know, back to school, particularly if kids or grandkids in your life, but there was a bit of a big change for us that happened last week in that we just entered the world of organized sports. So our oldest son, Laker, started tackle football last week. And, you know, people have, I've told this story now a few times, and people have come up and like, wow, like that's a big decision. You know, there's a lot of, you know, pros and cons with tackle football, but I tell people, you know, my wife and I are okay for our son to get, you know, hit a little bit. So we're good. He's good. And here's what comes with tackle football. It's three practices a week. So Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and then there's one, if they keep winning, you know, there's multiple games every Saturday. How many know my life just changed? It just changed. And here's the other thing. We have four children. Laker's the oldest one. So I have three more coming up the ranks. And so I'm truly asking you to pray for our family as we don't even realize what we're getting into yet. The life of organized sports, it's a whole new world. And if you come over to our house, what you're going to notice is Laker wears, so that's my oldest son's name, he wears his jersey and his helmet on all the time. All the time. He's getting used to it. Now, some of it is they make the helmet so darn tight that it takes a few people to, like, dislodge it from his head. But he's acclimating to this new reality. He's stepping into a new world, a new life. And it got me thinking, isn't that what faith is? Faith is walking in a new kind of life. Following Jesus is learning to live in a new kind of way. It's getting used to new rhythms and new expectations, new invitations. And at Westwood, we like to say that following Jesus is to be and love like him. I pray you've heard that before. It's been on our walls. It's been in our publications. And we call it our way of life. And the heart behind this teaching series, as you heard Pastor Joel introduce, is we want to give you a framework, maybe some handles of sorts to steer with for what it could look like and feel like to be in love like Jesus, to put on the very life that God has for you, to, like my son, put on a new uniform, a new jersey, a new helmet, and with it, all the different sights and sounds and smells that come with living into this whole new world. To be as Jesus is, to love as he loves. And that's really the call that we have. It's an undeniable call that we have as his followers, as his disciples. In fact, I want to show you this passage of scripture here in the Gospel of Mark. This is Mark chapter 3, verse 14. It says, Jesus appointed 12 disciples that they might be with him and that he might send them out. And I highlighted that be with him part of that passage because I want you to catch the order. Those original 12 disciples were invited to be with Jesus first. Then they were sent out to love like him. And so you could maybe say it like this. This could be a sticky statement of sorts for today's message. Our withness determines our witness. And what do I mean by witness? Well, to be a witness is to bear evidence. It's to reflect something real that you've actually seen, you've actually experienced, you've actually heard. In other words, a witness of Jesus Christ is someone who says, look, I've been with him. I know him. And I want you to know him too. And if you think about the world that we live in, if you just look around, many of us may get to this place where we say, oh, how much the world needs that kind of witness to see, to know, to encounter the very love of God. And that's our call. And so this series is saying, how do we put on the uniform, if you will? How do we start to go to practice and live this way of life? And in order to offer a response, I'm going to bring back that image of a triangle that you saw Pastor Joel reference in his introductory video. And the series is built on the fact that this triangle has movement to it. There's four sacred movements that are a part of being and loving like Jesus. And those movements are up toward God, in toward one another, out toward our neighbor, and within as we love ourselves as God's beloved. And these movements, I think, are really evident in the way that Jesus lived, and it's also really evident and echoed in the way that he's talked. He spoke these very rhythms of life, these movements in his teachings. And we're going to look at a passage in Matthew 22 that I think is really going to highlight that these movements are at the heart of what it means to be in love like Jesus. And the setup for this passage is Jesus is he's in conversation, but it's a little bit of a combative conversation. He's being questioned by people, and not really because they're curious, but because they're trying to trap him. But they're asking him a question that's of incredible importance, not just for their time and age, but for ours as well. And again, what I hope you see are that these movements will be evident in his response back. So here we are, Matthew 22. This is verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. These were two kind of competing groups of religious elites. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." It's one of the more famous passages in our Bibles. And what I want you to see is the movements. Love God up. Love your neighbor out. As you love yourself within. And then in John 13, Jesus gives us this in movement, the fourth of these sacred movements. And we find in this passage that Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's to come. It's moments before his eventual betrayal and crucifixion on the cross. And he brings a new commandment to their way of life. Look at this, John 13, 34 and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I mean, those are some pretty profound words. In it, Jesus is saying that the love that we have as fellow disciples now, he said that to those original 12. Now here we are as his disciples today, across all of our campuses, those watching online. The love that we have for each other as the church is evidence of our discipleship. It's a witness to our transformation. So again, as we look at this triangle, here are those four movements again. Up, as we be with and love God, that's our invitation to worship. Within, as we receive what God gives us, our identity as his beloved. In, as we be with and love one another, this is our invitation to community. And out, as we be with and love our neighbor, this is our invitation to mission. And over the weeks to come, we're going to bring a focus in to each of those sacred movements, and movements that I think it's helpful for me to kind of intentionally say that they inform both our individual spiritual lives as well as the life that we share together as the church. These movements are at play when we're with God in our own time and when we're with God as we gather together as his church. And today's message, we're going to start with up, the movement of up, which is living a life of worship, to God. And you know, that word worship, we use it often in church settings like this, and oftentimes we correlate the worship time to the singing time. But how many know worship is more than just singing on Sunday mornings? Worship is really offering our whole lives back to God. To go back to Matthew 22, it's loving God with all that we have, all of our body, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our heart. And it's saying to God, because you loved us, we're going to offer our love back to you. It's responding really to the worthiness of who God is for our attention, for our affection, for our adoration, even for our allegiance. And up, I think we can maybe agree that that kind of feels like a natural way to talk about connecting to God. I mean, think about it. We're almost hardwired, right, to look up to the skies when we think about where God might be or how to connect with him. Or when we think about heaven, our minds are kind of oriented to try to say, okay, something way above the clouds, way above space, that's the heavenlies. And indeed, you're going to see that theme all throughout the scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation, this idea of up, looking up. It's a theme in our Bibles, and it can be a particularly helpful invitation when life maybe feels uncertain or overwhelming. I mean, just to make it maybe personal for you, have you had a moment in your life where you've been maybe carrying something? Maybe it's anxiety or agitation, or you know, things just aren't exactly how you would hope they would be. Maybe there's something unresolved in your life, and you've had some attempts to try to figure out how do I move forward. And maybe you had a number of cups of coffee one day, and you're like, whoa, that didn't really do it. That got me more agitated. Or maybe you pick up your phone, and you find yourself an hour later, and you're like, I'm still scrolling. How did I get here? But still, I don't feel any different. You know, I know I've had days like that even recently, and my way to kind of unwind is there's a basketball hoop outside our house. And so I go out there, and I, you know, shoot a few hoops and kind of get my energy going, try to get my heart rate up. And then I inevitably miss so badly that the ball ricochets off the rim, and then, well placed, there's a hill right by the basketball hoop. And so the ball just careens down the hill, and I spend more time running after the thing than they ever get into the hoop. And I get there, and I just throw my hands up, and I look up, and it was actually that moment where my soul started to breathe again. When I decided to just pause enough to look up at the sky, and my gaze and my attention took in the vastness of what was in front of me. The canopy of the trees, the clouds that just kind of go through the sky. And you know, the concerns that I carry, they aren't dismissed, but they start to just feel a little bit smaller as I take in the reality of, wow, there's a lot out there. And then as a person of faith, it reorients my attention back to, wow, there's a lot of God out there for me too. And I was in my study this week, I was trying to figure out like this idea of looking up, like is there any science behind that? So I found this study from the University of California, Berkeley. They have this center called the Greater Good Science Center. And they did a study where they found that the practice of looking up 1 to 2 times a day, just that, 1 to 2 times a day, can lead to greater emotional and mental clarity because we enter into what researchers call a state of awe. And what awe does is it decreases our self-focus. But how many know what awe is truly doing? Is it's directing our attention to the awe-giving, to the awe-inspiring, to the awesome God who is for us and not against us. And friends, if I could maybe tell you what worship is in another way. Worship is exactly that. It's realizing we were made for awe. And when we worship God, when we lift our gaze and our hearts toward his greatness, we're doing what our soul was meant to do, receive awe. And God is great because nothing's too big for him. You look up at the skies and the heavens. If you look up at night and you see the stars, like, wow. The hand of God created all of that. Nothing's too big for him. The mountains that I might be facing, he can toss them into the sea. But pastor once told me, it just stuck with me so meaningfully. God's great because nothing's too big for him, but nothing's too small for him either. The hairs on your head, he numbers them. The cares and the concerns that you have, even in the vastness of the cosmos, he knows about them. He cares for them. And just by lifting our gazes, we allow our very soul to align with the greatness of God. In fact, listen to what the psalmist says here in Psalm 34:5. He writes, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. There's a paraphrase of the Bible written by a guy named Eugene Peterson. It's called The Message. Some of you may be familiar with this, but I love how he renders this same verse. He says, look to him, give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. And when we look at Jesus' life in his moments of deepest emotion, when one of his best friends had passed away, Lazarus, and he's at his tomb, or when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's minutes away from being betrayed by one of his closest followers. In both places, the scriptures say, he looked up. He poured out his soul. He never hid his feelings from his Father. Which really means this, right? Looking up is not just about where our eyes go. I mean, ultimately, looking up is about where our hearts turn. And it's choosing to have this upward orientation to our life. When we do that, we are being and loving like Jesus. Because Jesus started, his whole ministry, his whole life began with being caught up in moving up toward God, in being with him, in worshiping him. Because again, I'll bring back that little statement that I want you to remember from today. It's our witness that determines our witness. And so let me ask you this. It's not meant to be a judgmental question. It's just a reflective question. When was the last time you were with God? When was the last time, if you go to Psalm 34, 5, that the radiance of God shined upon you as you gave him your warmest smile, as you gave him your attention, your worship? It makes me think of this, you know, that plants follow the light. I don't know if you've stared long enough at plants to notice this, but I did this week just to make sure I was right. And it is right. It happens. And they do this remarkable thing. The technical term is phototropism. So you can use that at a dinner party later. And here's what that means. It means that plants lean, they stretch, they kind of move and turn toward the light. And so as the sun goes, they go too. Because for them, light is life. They bend toward the light, not just once, but constantly throughout the day. And what if we were meant to move the same way? What if God wired us not just physically, but spiritually to be theotropic, to look and lean toward his light, to adjust our posture when we find ourselves in the shadows, to realign our direction and our heart when we feel maybe withered or weary? Friends, this may again be a picture of what it means to worship God, what it means to have an upward life. In fact, I want to show you what Jesus says here in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. He says this, another very famous passage, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." I mean, those are convicting words. And just like a plant, our invitation is to abide in the light of God, to keep turning as we see his light in our lives, to look up. And as we do, we are being transformed. We begin to bear fruit. We begin to enter this rhythm of life of reflecting what we're receiving. With one hand saying, God, whatever you have, I want to be receptive to. And then with the other hand, I want to give it. I want others to witness the greatness of who you are. And as we do all of this, we're being like Jesus. But catch this, not because we're trying harder, but because we're rightly focusing on being with God first. Because again, it's our witness that determines our witness. And so the invitation for this message today is truly pretty simple. Look up and turn toward the light of God. Be with him. Worship him. Because being and loving like Jesus, the very way of life we have here at Westwood starts with being with and loving God. Like Jesus said in Matthew 22, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And to make it practical, I want to invite you to practice. Now, I don't mean 9-year-old football practice, although if you want to come and, you know, cheer me on as I'm standing on the sidelines seeing my kid, you can do that. But really what I'm inviting you to practice is our way of life. And Jesus in the gospel says, he retreated often to quiet places to pray and to be with God. And so when you wake up tomorrow, this is where maybe the practical application comes in. When you wake up tomorrow, rather than looking down at your phone, or rather than looking to the side, and you might see your spouse, or in my case, I'm going to find a kid or a dog who somehow got into the bed again. Rather than look in those directions, could you look up? Could you lift your eyes to God? And throughout the centuries, many Christians have had spiritual practices like prayer or reading scripture to draw their gaze and hearts toward who God is. And some of you, I think, already may have a practice of that. You may call it a daily devotional or a morning prayer. Some people call it a quiet time. Whatever you may have already as a practice, I just want to encourage you, keep going. Draw near to God. Continue to worship him through these practices that really open up our hearts to listen to his words, to receive his presence, to talk to him. These are beautiful things that God has entrusted us to have in our lives, rhythms to be with him and near him. But if you don't have a practice, or maybe you've tried before and it hasn't stuck, or it hasn't been meaningful, or maybe it doesn't feel real, then I just want to give you a simple invitation this week to pray an upward prayer before you start your day, before you look anywhere else, to look to God. And it really doesn't even have to be out loud. But every day this week, as soon as you wake up, you could just lay on your back and you could just look up. Give your gaze and your heart to God. And just to give you an example of a prayer, I kind of want us to practice. I'm in practice mode, having been to practice 3 times this week already. So here and across all of our campuses, I wrote just a short upward prayer that you could say. And I just want us to say this together to experience it, what it could look like and feel like to give our upward gaze to God as the first place our hearts go in the morning. So here and across all of our campuses, even if you're watching online, say this with me. God, today I look up. I rest in your love. Hold me close. I look to your light. Guide my way. Let others look where they will. I will look up. We will look up. This is an upward prayer. And I believe this could be an upward practice that will turn our eyes and our hearts to the light of God that's radiating from the heavens. So every day this week, as best you can, if you miss a day, God knows your heart. Don't be stuck in that. But as best as you can, make it a point to be with God. And in fact, one of these days, you might be so energized, you could get out of bed. And you could walk out, and maybe you could see the sky. Get to a place you could see a window or go outside, and then look up and pray that exact prayer and enter into the awe of worship with God. I know I'm going to take a few days to do that, you know, rather than stare at the uninspiring popcorn ceiling that's in my bedroom. And if you want to dive a little bit deeper this week, really all the weeks of the series, our team, formation team, has put together a list of resources that we want to be able to share with you. As you enter into this up, within, in, and out life. And so this week, you can text the keyword up to, this is our church number, 952-522-3400. And we're going to send you a text this week about other ways you could enter into that upward worship of God. Because again, the truth is God is moving. And what Jesus invites us to do as his followers is move with him, to live the way that he lived. And it starts with worship. It starts up. Because here's what worship does. Worship begins to center us on the only one worthy of our attention. And when we start with a heart of worship, we find not only the perspective of awe of how great God is, but we also find his presence. We find his love. We find the light of God just by looking up. And this call to look up, it's not a new idea at all. You know, Christians for hundreds of years have been practicing this. And I found this devotional by a guy named James Smith, Pastor James Smith. He pastored over 150 years ago in London, and he pastored the church that would later be pastored by a very famous leader called Charles Spurgeon. But James Smith was known for this devotional called Look Up. And in it, he writes these beautiful words that encourages his readers to lift their eyes off of themselves and onto God. And what he wrote, I just found to be so moving that I just wanted to share it with you. So here's what he writes. He says, if we look within, it will dispirit us. If we look around, it may distract us. If we look back, it may awaken fears. If we look forward, it may arouse foreboding. But if we look up to God, it will preserve the head from swimming, the heart from sinking, the feet from slipping, and the hands from hanging down. Smith knew what maybe we can sometimes forget, and that is where eyes go informs, shapes where our hearts go. And if we have a practice of looking down a lot, boy, we might only see weakness around us. But if we can engage this practice of worship looking up, how many know that we're going to see the power of God in our midst? Or if we have a tendency to kind of look around all the time, and we see the chaos and the trouble and the challenges, I mean, that could dispirit us really quickly. But if we look up, we can see God's providence. He's in control. His sovereignty and his goodness is right above us and right around us. And so what looking up does, what worship does, is it shifts our attention to the God who is unshaken, unchanging, and always faithful. And truly, when we look up, we anchor into that security. We get to be held in the firm grip of who God is so that we can live secure in who we are. That more than anything else, we are God's beloved. And friends, this is why we begin upward. Because when we look up, everything else can find its place. And there are these simple, everyday practices that we've already talked about, like prayer, reading scripture, even literally looking up, that turns our attention to the reality that God is with us. God is with you, and he is for you and not against you. And so before you look down or to the side tomorrow morning, lift your eyes to God, give him your worship, and notice this. Notice how you might start to follow the light. Just like a plant, you will turn toward the radiance of God, and I want you to receive that with open arms. Receive his light, but then let it spill over. Let it spill over into your family and to your coworkers, to your friends and to your neighbors. Let it spill within you. Let it spill in and out of you. And let it give you a heart of worship to a God who is so worthy of it. And get this, this series is both an opportunity for us to think about how this informs our individual lives, but what if we all move together? What would it look like if an entire church oriented itself up in prayer and worship and love toward God? We'd become radiant. And so let's be the church who looks up. In fact, I think this is a good time for a call and response. Can we be the church that looks up? Here and across all of our campuses, you can say yes with me. Yes. Can we be the church that looks up? Yes. Yes. That's why our call as Christians is not to just look up individually. It's to look up corporately. And so when we gather in these spaces or when you tune in online, we are practicing a rhythm of heaven. We're entering into lifting our eyes off of ourselves and putting it onto a merciful and good God. We are practicing the posture of awe and worship. And so can I encourage you? Like, be part of this. So many of you are here across all of our campuses, those online. Make it a regular part of your week to be in worship because we get to be the church. We get to be the church who worships. And every time we do that, we bear evidence. We become witnesses to the world around us that God is alive and his presence is with us. And he's given us not fear, but love and power and a sound mind. And his grace will radiate, his truth will radiate from us to be witnesses to a world in need of his love. Because again, I'll bring it back one more time. Our witness determines our witness. And how much our world needs to witness the love of God. And to witness his presence in his grace, he decides you and I could put on the uniform. How the world sees the goodness of God is we get to be a part of the story. And to be in love like Jesus means that our first invitation is to look up. It begins with worship. And so with that as our invitation, here and across all of our campuses, I just want to offer a closing blessing for you. And you know, the way that we oftentimes do that is we open our hands, and I'm going to ask you to do that here, all those online too, if you can, open up your hands. But with this message being specifically about looking up to God in worship, could you do this? Could you also look up? Now, some of you might stare directly at a light, so don't look at it too directly, but just to orient our hearts again to the awesomeness of who God is, receive this prayer and this blessing as we look up together. So Lord, you see our hands up, means our hearts are open, but you see our eyes up because we just want to stand in awe of who you are. Worship is about what you're worthy of, and you're worthy of our attention, of our allegiance, of our affection, of our adoration, because you gave your very life so that we could have life and life abundant. And so God, this week, we're going to turn our eyes to you, literally, but truly we're turning our hearts toward you in worship. We just want to be with you, because without you, Lord, you say, we can do nothing. I don't think those are exaggerated words. I think those are the most true words that we could ever realize. We need you, Lord. And we want to lift our gaze to you in worship and receive all that you want to give us as we be in love like your son, as we become your disciples. And so, Lord, with our gaze and our hearts up toward you, would you receive our worship? Would you receive our presence as we step into the most beautiful thing we could have, being with you, so that we could be a witness for you in a world that will know the greatness of our God. Nothing too big for you. Nothing too small either. We give you the honor, the glory, and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen.